Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. I'm on your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Lil Croy Poppy himself, a.k.a. the man who I owe a pizza, a.k.a. Tim motherfucking Geddes.
It feels good.
Yeah?
You
know? I'm proud of you.
We'll share the pizza. So at the end of the day, we all win.
I was going to ask you, like, what kind of, because I was going to assume you wanted a personal pizza from Pizza.
No. I mean, you know what? Let's do that.
You want to do that?
Yeah, and I'll buy you one too. No, not today.
Let me know
when
you want to.
At some point. Maybe sometime in September.
Oh, you a nice know? September personal pizza. He's not going to remember. I'm going to save 10 bucks. That's going to be great. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Bless, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about real quick before we get in the show. All things that I saw on Twitter. Timothy Cullen Jr. tweeted at me and you this morning at 6:08 a.m. and said, I hope you have a great morning commute listening to the Sonic 30th anniversary concert. I know I did. And it's random. Sonic's anniversary is in June.
But okay, I was like, did I miss something?
No, this is the concert that came out a couple years ago that was incredible. It's on Spotify. And I listen to it all the time. But thanks to Timothy Cullen Jr., I listened to it today on my commute. And let me tell you, if my voice is a little like lower and out, compared to normal, it's because I was singing Live and Learn and Escape from the City in my car ride over here. And it was a good-ass time, Bless.
God, I love that for you. I love it. What would you put up there as your number one Sonic song?
I mean, that's like that.
Escape from the City?
We got to talk eras there. You know what I mean? Because if we're talking number one Sonic song, it's got to be one of the OGs. Maybe Chemical Plant Zone. Marble Hill Zone comes to mind for sure.
So you're not going like the vocal tracks?
Definitely not. No. Okay. I love them. They have a very special place in my heart. You know,
of course,
but definitely not.
You know what? One I'll throw up there. I've never actually thought about what my favorite Sonic track is, but one that comes to mind immediately is more of a modern one, and it's Studiopolis Zone.
Which
Studiopolis Zone goes hard,
absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
yeah. So Sonic, man, they just know what the hell they're doing. But two other things I want to bring up to you real quick. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet last night that said new Mandela effect just dropped. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, Bless.
What up?
How do you spell Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts.
What if I told you we just got a cackle out
of... Yeah, I think that was Roger. Roger? It sounded like Roger laughed, yeah.
Yeah, Roger doesn't hang out too often now. They sound the
Roger
same.
Roger has like a Joker laugh sometimes.
Yeah, something's going on there. What if I told you the Brussels sprouts is actually Brussels.
Wait, Brussels. Multiple Brussels?
Brussels
sprouts?
Is a place.
You're wild.
Brussels
That's
is a place.
Wild.
That sprouts come from.
Huh. Brussels sprouts. That's crazy.
But everyone just says Brussels sprouts. So you don't fucking think about it.
That's a Mandela effect I kind of get because I think growing up, you just meld the two together, right? Because like you're ending on an S, you're starting on an S. So as a kid, you're like, oh yeah, Brussels sprouts. You don't think about the fact that it's Brussels. Like nobody ever pauses the Brussels.
I never thought about Brussels sprouts enough. I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Have you ever had Brussels sprouts wrapped in bacon?
Oh yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The best.
They do like, you know how you can get like cauliflower wings at places?
Yeah.
There's a place near my house that does that with Brussels sprouts with a little sriracha drizzle on it.
You might need to send me the name of this place.
Yeah, it's
I might
good.
Need to check this out.
It's damn good. But anyways, this blew my mind. This
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Blew my mind.
Holy cow.
And then there's another one today. This one is coming in hot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We got to question some shit here, all right? Roland Bishop tweets out, and I saw this because John Drake replied to it saying, oh no. All right. He says, I'm going to spend the rest of the year pronouncing Starfield like Garfield.
I saw this and I didn't understand it.
I don't either.
I think
Is he fucking with us?
I think they're doing a bit. I think they're fucking
this
with us.
This must be a bit.
I think they're trying
they
to be like.
They must have seen the Brussels thing and are like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's make some jokes.
How else would you pronounce Garfield?
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 I saw in the responses they're saying that Garfield is three syllables, and I don't fucking understand what that
means. How do you even make it three syllables?
They're fucking with us. They're fucking. There's no legitimate way you pronounce Garfield that's not Garfield. People in chat are saying Garfield. No.
Garfield.
Absolutely not. No.
No fuck
Absolutely
you.
Not. No. Absolutely not.
Garfield's the knockoff that hates Sundays.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't stand Sundays. Oh man. Monday Junior. So I want to throw one at you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a Twitter thing. This is just a me living life thing. You know how there's Tetris Effect, where not the video game, but like the idea where like you play so much Tetris that like you get in the zone, but then like you finish playing Tetris and you're seeing shapes in your brain and you're dreaming about Tetris and you're doing all that stuff. I think I'm having the Metroid Prime effect, where
welcome, Bless. I've been having that for 20 years.
I'm so fucking into this Metroid Prime game, brand new game from a small indie developer, and I last night. legitimately all I dreamt about was Metroid Prime. Because now I've gotten to the point in the game where I'm so into the map, right? Like, I'm so, like, room for room, figuring out where all the different exits are, scanning everything. Like, I'm at that phase of my Metroid Prime playthrough where I'm like, I assume I'm in the end game because now I'm just collecting the Chozo artifacts. But, like, I am so in the zone of this game. And now if I go to any room, I know exactly the exits that I'm supposed to go to, right? And, like, I know this place like the back of my hand. But I am dreaming about Metroid. And last night, legitimately, I woke up this morning and I was like, I just have Metroid's, like, map on my brain, like, the environment on my brain. It's so weird.
So happy about
this. It's so fucking strange.
I love that every day that I've talked to you about Metroid Prime, you just are loving and gushing more and more and more.
I'm sad about the idea of finishing it.
I love, dude, that's awesome. But you should be excited because Fusion is tomorrow, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a beautiful little send off there. That is.
Is it tomorrow or today? I think it might be out today.
It's the 9th, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Well, there was an error on not today, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, no, I'm fucking loving Metroid Prime. Hell, it's incredible. Man. The more I play it, the more I'm like, this is a goddamn video game. This is game design right here. Yeah. Like, they designed the hell out of this game.
Not to go too long on this, but we went to lunch a couple days ago, and we were talking about Metroid, and I was, like, realizing, like, how wild it is that not only did Metroid completely miss the first transition to 3D with the N64 era, but Nintendo, a very Japanese-based company that all of its biggest hits up to that point were made by Japanese teams, outsource this, or outsource isn't the right word, but to Retro Studios in Austin or in Texas.
Yeah.
And they made this. They made Metroid Prime. Like, it's just wild to think that, like, such a swing on such a major franchise. I mean, and, you know, majors, it's all relative to the scope and scale of how things were back then. But, like, Super Metroid was always a success for relatively to what the Super Nintendo was then. But to then get Metroid Prime and it just be like this whole new experience, this whole new genre almost. Like, it's just cool to think about, like, that Nintendo was ahead of the curve.
Like, it feels so true to what Metroid is at the same time.
Absolutely.
Right? Where Metroidvania, you have the same abilities, like, the environment, the atmosphere matches what Metroid is on the 2D side. Like, yeah, kudos to this up-and-coming dev, Retro.
Yeah.
Killed it.
And DJ Kanto, I'm sorry, I should say, shout out to Tommy Tallarico for everything that he did for Metroid Prime. Without him, the game wouldn't exist. So,
what's the connection there?
Thank you. The documentary that I try to recommend everybody watch,
right.
The Roblox oop sound that turns into just, like,
takedown of him.
The moment by moment, second by second takedown of Tommy Tallarico and all the lies that he's had in the past. And the amount of times this man tries to take credit for, like, creating Metroid Prime, and it starts off like, oh yeah, I helped with the sound effect of the game, and then it turns into, yeah, Miyamoto personally talked to me, okay. And it was just like,
so he's
all
like,
this shit.
He's like the Soulja Boy of the games industry.
Exactly.
All right.
I mean, isn't Soulja Boy the Soulja Boy of the
yeah,
games
exactly.
industry?
Okay, that's fair, that's fair. Tim, enough about all that. Also, somebody in chat, or no, it was Barrett, brought up the pronunciation that they're talking about for Garfield, which is Garfield, which, no, I don't, that's, they're trying to fuck with us.
That's funny.
There's no way.
I really do like that. Yeah. Also, H-Bomber Guy is the YouTuber that made that video. Recommend it. Incredible work over there.
There you go. Tim, enough about that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Starfield officially has a release date. Discord voice chat comes to PlayStation and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. A new Kind of Funny Games cast is up, featuring the one and only Timur Hussein from GameSpot and Giant Bomb, breaking down his time at Super Nintendo World. And it features us talking about whether Tears of the Kingdom and other games can live up to their predecessors.
Excellent episode.
Fantastic episode that you can catch right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're looking for some Mandalorian discussions after last night's episode, you can watch Screencast live on youtube.com/kindoffunny at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time today, where the Star Wars crew will talk all about their opinions and theories. And then remember, this Friday is March 10th, so you know what that means. It is Mario Day, and I'm teaming up with Retro Queen Ash Said Hi to bring you a Super Mario celebration this Friday, March 10th, on twitch.tv/twitch at 11 a.m. Pacific time to celebrate everyone's favorite plumber, slash kart racer, slash athlete, slash doctor, slash janitor, slash painter. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mario. Again, you can catch that twitch.tv/twitch this Friday. 11 a.m. Pacific time. Tune in.
Tune in.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Starfield launches in September. This is George Yang at IGN. Bethesda has delayed Starfield once again, as the game will now launch in September for PC and Xbox Series X and S. There will also be a Starfield Direct on June 11th, right after the Xbox Game Showcase. In a new official launch date announcement trailer, Bethesda's Todd Howard confirmed that the highly anticipated game will release this year. Quote, "We have poured ourselves into this game, and I'm surprised how much we can pour. It is large. We're playing the game all the time," he explained. The Starfield Direct in June will provide a deep dive into the game, as Howard continued, quote, "There's so much that we still have to show you. The game has many of the hallmarks that you'd expect from us, but it's also a very unique experience," end quote. Of course, with that, we got confirmation that the Xbox Game Showcase is happening Sunday, June 11th, and so there's confirmation for that, too. And of course, Tim, this is why I owe you a pizza, because a few weeks ago, maybe like a month ago on this show, we talked about whether or not Redfall or Starfield would be the be the one to release in the first half of the year versus the second half of the year. You bet on Starfield getting delayed till later. I bet on Redfall getting delayed till later. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You'll get a pizza.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How do you feel about this?
I think this is good news. You know, I think that it shows it's a little embarrassing, and it's easy to poke fun at Microsoft for a lot of reasons, and Xbox overall for, well, they don't have games and this and that. Like, they make it easy. And when you announce things and you delay things, you make a whole E3 showcase, whatever you want to call it, about, hey, this is all 12 months, and then things don't hit those 12 months, you look a little silly. When you take all that stuff out of it, though, good, right? September's not that far away. Like, I feel like Starfield, again, needs to get it right. We've said this so many times with Xbox specifically when it comes to Halo, now when it comes to Starfield. The expectations are extremely high for this game, and I don't think it's just one set of goals that they need to accomplish. I think that Starfield is such a big deal to so many people for so many reasons that you kind of need to not only be a flagship Xbox title, you also need to be the return to form for Bethesda. You also need to speak to that Game Pass audience very loudly and to maintain it and keep them playing and to deliver, and then have this be kind of the start of the domino effect of Xbox games coming out that at this point, you know, they had their 12-month roadmap thing. When I first saw this news today, I was like, oh shit, they're doing a Starfield Direct on June 11th. That's all I saw. I didn't see the Xbox Game Showcase thing. And I was like, whoa, are they really going to not have a showcase and just do a Starfield showcase instead?
Yeah,
that's interesting, but it definitely, I think, shows the place that they'd be in. But no, this is in addition to. This is going to be a deep dive. You got to imagine, what, 30 to an hour on Starfield?
It reminds me, again, I make this reference a lot, but to the Fallout 4 E3, where Bethesda had their E3 showcase that was, hey, here's Doom, here's Dishonored, but then here's an extended look at Fallout where we can get into the nitty-gritty, and it's Todd Howard being like, and it just works, and it's him doing that thing. I think this is fun because they're teeing this up as they're calling it a Starfield Direct. The way they talk about it, it seems like a follow-up to the developer underscore direct that we got, which is interesting that they removed the underscore. Don't remove the underscore. Put it back, you cowards. But yeah, like they're treating it as this, hey, let's do an inside look. We're going to take you into the studio. I imagine they're going to interview people that are working on the game, and Todd Howard's probably going to lead and be like, hey, all right, this is what Starfield is. These are the different factions. These are the kinds of stories you can expect, right? We got a taste of a little bit more of some game footage, right, in this new trailer. And what they have in that trailer so far, I know it's like basic stuff, but it looks cool. Like the imagery they're showing, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like, I want more of that. I want to see what makes Starfield shine stylistically, right? Like, what are the interesting bits about it? I think this is the place to come out and be like, hey, for 30 to 40 minutes, we're going to talk to you about the systems, we're going to talk to you about the story, we're going to talk to you about the world, and we're really going to pitch you on what Starfield is.
Yeah, yesterday on a Gamescast, you brought up that the aesthetic is very NASA, and I hadn't thought about that before, but yeah, it is. You really nailed it there, where NASA does have like a kind of unique look to it that isn't often shown and portrayed in video games, and so for Starfield to kind of like roll with that, it does put it in a fairly unique space. Will that be space?
Hey.
Will it be like too boring for some? I don't know. We'll have to see, because space can be so colorful, and we've seen it be so colorful both in video games and in movies and in other media, especially recently. So for it to be a little bit more of a grounded space aesthetic, that could hit, because it's different than what we've had recently. So this also, you were saying, reminds you of the Xbox Developer Direct, which was great, and that's where they announced the Hi-Fi Rush. But it also reminds me of how Nintendo traditionally does its E3 showcases, where they'll have a Direct, and then after that, the new Nintendo Treehouse. And like they almost promote that as like, hey, we're going to have our showcase, and then after that, get a deep dive into Breath of the Wild. And then it's just them playing Breath of the Wild for like 2 hours straight, and we just get to watch as like Nintendo Treehouse people kind of like give little tidbits and stuff. And every once in a while they that's where they announced Metroid 2 remake on 3DS was in the like Nintendo Treehouse posting. It was one of the most bizarre things they've ever done.
It was like 20 Nintendo minutes after decisions. Like their actual proper thing too.
That was Samus Returns, right?
Samus Returns, which was in many ways the return of Samus. Like it was the first time that we had a Metroid game in a long time, remake or otherwise. So that was like a huge deal, and they just like weirdly put it in the follow show. So for this, I don't think we're getting announcements. I don't think we're anything. We're getting Starfield. Yeah. Like,
but, and we're also getting announcements before in the Xbox showcase. I think this is an overall net good, right? Mm. And of course, like, we get sad when things get delayed, but also it's like the Shawn Michaels quote, right? Like, you put out a bad game today and it's bad. You put out a good game later and Sweet Chin Music right in your face.
That's it.
You want to make sure that Starfield is ready. You want to make sure that it's polished. Bummer that it's been delayed multiple times, right? It was supposed to come out November 11th of last year, and we've seen it slip now. We've known it, and we've seen Starfield forever, so it feels like it's being prolonged in terms of like how long we're dragging this thing out. But at the end of the day, if we get a good game, then I would say it's all worth it, right? Yeah, delay. And also, the first half of the year is already stacked.
It's too stacked.
Yeah.
Like, I see this as just an ultimate win. Any way you look at it, like, I feel like I never believed it was going to hit the first half of this year. Mm-hmm. On top of that, there's so much hitting the first half of this year on every console. Whether you are a Xbox player, everything player, PlayStation, whatever, it's like there's something for everybody.
Like, they got, I mean, Diablo 4 is directly tied to Xbox, right? Like, that's coming out in June. Like, you know, and you have Redfall coming out about a month or so, 2 months. Like, yeah, you have that coming out in the first half of the year. Forza Motorsport is going to come out at some point. You don't need to mush all that stuff together and have it come out at the same time. Starfield coming out in September, feeling like it has this level of separation between all that's going on in the first half of the year, along with things like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, right? Which is like a competitor's big open world game. Yeah, launch your big open world game separate from that. I think the only thing you run into is maybe getting close to Spider-Man, but like 100%. Spider-Man doesn't have a release date. And so like maybe PlayStation looks at this and goes, all right, let's maybe do it October instead.
I mean, it's interesting when you look at what this year is in video games. It's different. It's unique. It has not been seen before, where we're at a point where we have so many of the heaviest hitters that we know their release dates, and they're all in the first half of the year. Mm. What is there in the second half? And I know normally we have to wait till like the E3 area to know what is going to come to the fall or whatever. But even that trend has changed over the last couple of years, where E3 is almost an update on things we already knew about. And then like, where is it going to fall? And then maybe it falls the following year or whatever. But where we're at right now, we know so much about the first half that even games that like don't have dates that we know are coming, things like Hollow Knight or Spider-Man or
Liza P or
all those things, it's like, there's not many of them. Mm-hmm. Like, we have so many more answers than we normally do in March of the year, of what the whole year looks like, if there's not delays.
Keep forgetting that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth could possibly come out this year.
That's the thing, too. It 100% could. I don't expect it to, but it could. I didn't expect when they said winter for Crisis Core, but they hit it. So, it's now we're looking at this, and it's like, what does the second half of the year look like? And the big question is, where does Spider-Man fall? Because before I heard this news, I would have expected Spider-Man September. The first Spider-Man was September. September sounds right. But guess what? October sounds right, too.
Yeah. Like, Miles Morales was November. Of course, that aligned.
That's by default.
That lined up with the console launch. But there's nothing dictating that Spider-Man has to be September. And I could see play, and like, this isn't me saying like, oh, PlayStation Skate or Starfield or whatever, but I think when you look at marketing, when you look at how you want to roll a game out, like, all right, cool, let's be the biggest game in October or November if Xbox wants to have their big game come out in September. But Tim, speaking of big questions, I got a big question from DJ Brad Chill, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, what's good, guys? Papa Todd gave us the dates for the Starfield Direct and release, and I got some thoughts brewing. Will the Starfield Direct be the large focus of Xbox's E3/Summer Game Fest showing, given the date, i.e. no Fable/Perfect Dark, etc.? Do y'all think it gets pushed even further and hits that 11/11 date of Skyrim? Will this be Xbox's only premiere title this fall? I feel like I'm doing like a DBZ, like next on Dragon Ball Z. But yeah, will this be Xbox's only premiere title this fall? And finally, does the new gameplay shown in the announcement video change your hype/expectation levels for this game? It's looking much better than the first impression, in my opinion, but would love to hear y'all's thoughts. Keep on fucking that chicken. Peace.
Lots to talk about here. I think that it will likely be the Xbox's only premiere title this fall. I think that there will be supporting titles around it, but I do think that Starfield, hidden in September, it's probably going to be the big one. I wouldn't expect, because what other things could even be
I
up
think
there, Forza, right?
Forza Motorsport.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we would.
But I would even say that it's a support, you know? Yeah. And like, I'm not talking about the quality of the game, but I'm just talking about like what we're talking about. And even having said that, it's like, I would say that like Forza's not going to be a Game of the Year contender. Forza Horizon 5 won Game of the Year at IGN. So like, things are changing and like anything can happen. And I feel like genres have adapted and changed enough that even ones that we wouldn't traditionally look at as being capable of being innovative enough to get that prestigious title, I think they can now. And I think that fighting games are the ones to keep their eye on this year of like, hey, potentially one of these fighting games could hit in a way that people are like, whoa, you know, like I think that this is the most likely year that we will ever see a fighting game in the game of the year, game awards, game of the year nominees, potentially. It is also the most competitive year I think we'll ever have. We're only 3 months in, not even. We're 2 months and a week into this year, and it feels like we've already had multiple games that I'm going to have on my top 10 list, right? So, like, what a time to be a gamer.
One I'll throw out there, too, is Hellblade 2. I feel like that has to come out,
you know,
sooner than later.
Yeah.
I would think that that game might be ready around this fall, right? Unless, like, maybe next spring. But that makes this presentation very interesting to me in the way that, you know, DJ Brad Chill talking about, will this be the game with large focus during E3? Like, it'll be the largest game, and I think it'll be Xbox's largest game of the fall by default because of how they're talking about it, because of how they're pushing it. Hellblade 2 is also another big deal, and like I don't know how you balance the two in terms of not trying to deflate Hellblade 2 by prompting up Starfield so much.
I don't think that you're right. I forgot about Hellblade 2. I think Hellblade 2, that is an easy late October, November game. Like, you I think so? that is, without knowing or caring about the Starfield release date, just when would I think Hellblade 2 would drop? I'm not even thinking about 2023. I'm just saying in general, like months, the type of game it is, I would think October, November feels right because it is that more of like a Sony competitor, right? It is that we're looking at it and it is Xbox's answer to Last of Us and Uncharted and like that type of more third person
narrative based linear
game.
Action.
Yeah. So I don't think that competes with Starfield. I think it complements Starfield actually really nicely. So if this year, if we ended up getting Starfield, Hellblade 2, and Forza Motorsport, that sounds really right to me for what a sound level of expectations for Xbox's output.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that that's a guarantee. Like, I think that at this point, they just want to get Starfield right. They'll have Redfall. They'll have a whatever, okay, solid year. But they'll have also some mega wins with Hi-Fi Rush starting the year off hot. Maybe they wait for 2024 to kind of like get those dominoes going and like lead on. I do think that this Xbox showcase before the deep dive into Starfield is going to be one of their more important ones. And I know I say that every year. But with last year being like, hey, all these games coming out in the next 12 months, and most of them did. There's a couple exceptions, and there's a couple that still might look doubtful, but still might.
You're going to get the case of Benedict Fox, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about. But will we get Hollow Knight? Probably not. But maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. The interesting thing here, or not even the interesting thing here, right? I do think that if you are doing an Xbox game showcase and then you're doing a Starfield thing that is separate from it afterwards, you still got to have bangers at the Xbox game showcase. And so, like, I think to that, I could see them still giving Hellblade 2 love if that is their one more thing at the end of the showcase. And it is, hey, and it's out this fall, right? This November. You still have to have the goods there. And I think right now for where Xbox is at, we know what so many of their games are that I don't need them to announce more future games. Like, I know Everwild exists. I know, whatchamacallit, like...
Avowed.
Yeah, I know Avowed exists. I know Outer Worlds 2 exists.
Perfect Dark, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, that was what I was thinking of. Yeah, like, they have so many games that are announced for the future. I don't really need more of those. I need answers on those. And so I think I would like answers. Even if they gave me a new trailer for some of these games that are 2024. If I get an Avowed trailer that's 2024, that's a banger to me, right? If I get Outer Worlds 2 trailer that's 2024 or, like, some more information on that game, that's a banger to me, right? If I get Indiana Jones... that's a banger to me. I think that has to be what their Xbox game showcase is, to really elevate it and make it a success separate from the Starfield showcase.
I think that they have to. And yeah. I think that they will. I hope they do. And if they don't, it's going to be a major letdown, because the way they're presenting this, unlike even the Bethesda conference a couple years ago that you're talking about with Fallout 4, where we knew that was happening or whatever, there was still major other announcements.
Yeah.
And that wasn't its own separate thing. Fallout 4 wasn't a separate event. It was part of the same thing.
And that's why, like,
this being a separate event to me means just be like, hey, that thing you want, it's here. There's also this other thing. They need to be completely separate. The Starfield thing can't be the, here's the big thing. It needs to be the, here's the other big thing.
Exactly, right? Like, otherwise, just make it one thing.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the thing. That's why I look forward to this Xbox game showcase, and I hope that it's a fire thing. To the part of DJ Bradshield's question talking about, does Starfield get delayed again? Could it move into even later in the fall?
Yes.
Obviously, the answer is yes. Right?
100%.
Starfield can move as much as it wants to. Mm-hmm. We might get Starfield in 2027. The most important thing about Starfield is getting it right and making sure that it is good. I have maybe more confidence in this date than I've had on any previous date, but the more we push, the more that's just going to become true, because I'm like, this game has to come out someday.
We'll get this game this year. I'm 100% confident in that. I'm 95% confident in this date.
Yeah.
I think it's far enough out, and this seems like purposeful, especially with the June reveal. The marketing's going to start. And I think that is a very important factor to consider when you think about the money and budget going into all this. So I think that this is going to happen. And then, yeah, Spider-Man's the next big question.
I'm at a 90% of confidence. Yeah. Like, I feel like we've learned so much over the last few years, of course, with the pandemic and just with games development in general, that, like, nothing in this earth is promised. Like, things are going to get delayed. But, yeah, like, I'm feeling good about this, right? I feel like after putting a date on it and then delaying it and then being like, all right, it's going to come out in this window, and now that you're putting another date on it, you got to be pretty damn confident about this new date. But again, who knows? Maybe a couple months from now, they're like, fuck, there's a game-breaking bug that we need to fix, and that happens. But hopefully, we'll see Starfield soon this fall. Tim, before I get to the next news story, I want to let people out there know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDOFUNNY. funny. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer, and thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You'll wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones. And then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kinda Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
And we're back. Tim, I appreciate chat keeping me honest. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the ratings. There was a lot of people were split on the ratings, but I'm giving myself a 4 out of 10 on that one.
Okay.
I think the vision was there. The execution was a bit wobbly.
You stumbled.
I stumbled, yeah. And the thing is, I had coffee this morning, and like I had a lot of coffee this morning, and so I'm going very fast. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, no, I'll listen. I got you next time.
Rolling around at the speed of sound.
Speed of sound. Story number 2. Discord voice chat is now available on PlayStation 5. This is Owen S. Good at Polygon. The latest PlayStation 5 system software update is available to all users right now, bringing with it integrated Discord voice chat and additional support for 1440p displays. The update, announced at the beginning of February, also includes some quality of life enhancements to the PS5's social and sharing features. Version 7 of the PS5 software is available for all consoles worldwide. With it, players may join Discord voice chats from the PS5 console, enjoy better visual performance on 1440p displays thanks to variable refresh rate support, use voice commands to capture video clips of gameplay. This feature is in a preview state for US and UK users only. They must say, quote, "Hey PlayStation, capture that," and the console will save a clip whose length is determined by the user's current setting. Players may also direct the console to save a clip of anywhere from 15 seconds to 60 minutes by saying, "Hey PlayStation, capture the last X minutes or seconds." Wednesday morning's PlayStation blog post has much more on the new functions inside the software update, which includes updating the DualSense controller wirelessly. Right now, let's go. Barrett has up the tweet from PlayStation where they detail some more bullet points, right? Like I mentioned, you can join a Discord voice chat. You have VRR support for 1440p. You can now manually upload game captures to the PlayStation app, which is what I've been waiting for. That's the feature I'm excited about. And then you can easily access your PS4 save data on PS5.
So is this the thing that like prevents like we have to like go into a game and then upload the fucking save of a PS4 game to the cloud and then download it onto the like whatever that whole thing was?
I think this is more so like cloud saves. Okay. Like if you're playing a PS4 version of a game on your PS5, like make it easier. But I think you were still going to have to like go into the old game,
so
upload and then download on the PS5 version.
Explain to me why you're excited about this.
The manually upload,
yes.
Game captures, because I like taking a lot of screenshots and a lot of videos. And up until now, like they recently, well, like a few months ago, half a year ago about, added the feature to where it'll automatically upload. The thing is, like 75% of the time, that shit does not work. Like I'll get a notification being like, oh, it aired. And I have to try it again. It's all aired. And I'm like, most of these screenshots I don't even need to upload anyway. Like a lot of them are like either trophy shit or... just screenshots I wanted to save. There's a handful of screenshots where I'm like, oh, I gotta tweet this or I gotta send this to somebody. And those are the ones I want to manually upload, because then if I manually upload it from the PlayStation console itself, I open up my phone, open up my PlayStation app, download it, and then I can send it anywhere. And it makes it easy for tweeting, so I don't have to tweet
awesome.
Natively from my PlayStation. So that's why I'm very excited about that. I think the big thing here is joining Discord on PlayStation.
It's huge, man. I mean, honestly, for me, the biggest thing is the DualSense controller updating wirelessly. It is like that is like one of those little things that just pisses me off. Is it the end of the world? No. But the amount of times I feel like I've had to deal with that frustrates me. So them solving that, thank you, Sony. You're doing God's work out there. Discord stuff, fantastic. I feel like that should be ubiquitous across everything. It just works. It works better than what everyone else has. So cool. Use the thing that works.
Yeah.
Make it the standard.
And now pretty much everybody has it except for Nintendo. But you know, I was playing I was playing Hi-Fi Rush when that came out, and I was hanging out with a friend, and we were having trouble with the Xbox actual chat function. And I was like, oh shit, they got Discord on this thing. And so like she went to her computer, I was playing on my Xbox, and we were just able to chat. But now you can do that on Xbox, PC, or PlayStation. And that's huge, right? Like that really does like allow people to hang out together much easier. I think now we just need to get it to Nintendo, and that might be like that might take a decade. That might take a while for us to get there. That'll be the Switch 3 if we're lucky.
Yeah, that'll take Discord being acquired by somebody else, and then having to be like, no, hey, we're going to support Nintendo for 10 years.
Whoa, just like
you know what it is? They're going to put Discord on their little mobile Nintendo app that you have to use.
Exactly.
Disgusting.
Exactly. VRR support for 1440p is great. Them adding 1440p, I think, was awesome and something that I didn't expect. They didn't have it. Xbox did. Xbox, I think, has always been a little bit more. We talked about this on yesterday, I guess, on Games Daily. But Xbox, I feel, because of their partnerships with different tech brands, has been less proprietary, and that has like allowed them to just be a little bit more standardized with the resolutions that it supports and the variable refresh rates and things like that, and then just the way it does 3D sound and all of it. So they had that shit on lock and have had shit on lock since the Xbox One X last gen. So here for PlayStation, they keep dabbling with it. They keep doing a lot of stuff right, but then there's a couple major omissions, and I didn't expect them to ever add 1440p. Then they did. Now they're adding this. Great. Continue to enhance all this stuff.
Is there a feature that you want? What's a highly requested feature that you want to see in a future firmware update for PlayStation?
I feel like I always struggle with sound settings. Like, I wish that there was an even quicker way to just get to sound settings. Like, if I could just map my, like, screenshot button or whatever the fuck to be just go sound, I would do that. Because I feel like there's a lot of times I want to, like, adjust sound, like, whether it's headset or just in-game things. But that's pretty minor. I'm pretty happy where we're at now with a lot of the UI stuff on PlayStation, at least.
Yeah, I miss themes so much from PS4. Like, I fucked with themes a lot, and I don't know how you would do it with how the current PS5 UI is, because now whenever you highlight a game, the whole screen is just taken over by that game. But like, I would like to find a way to bring back themes, because for me that was something so special, especially when you got like a special edition of the game, or you pre-ordered a game and like you get the Persona 5 theme for your PS4 home screen. That always struck me as special. That I think it was, those were the first steps into making me fall in love a bit with Final Fantasy 7, because I had a when I bought the old Final Fantasy 7 for PS4, that came with a PS4 theme.
The Tifa theme? Was it the one with Tifa and Cloud sitting on the...
No, I think that was with the remake. The one I had, I believe, was Aerith. It was like Aerith's theme that would play. And for the longest time, I'll just have that stuck in my head, because it was like a beautiful piano tune. But yeah, like when I finally played Final Fantasy VII Remake and went back to play Final Fantasy VII, like that was a thing that stuck with me. I was like, oh shit, Aerith's theme. Like, this is really cool. But yeah, like there was also a really good Shadow Colossus theme. I just want themes again. I think themes are great.
Nintendo needs themes, man.
You don't like black and white?
I can't. Why do you have a theme option with only those two options? You never fucking update it. And even the black, it's like the least black thing I've ever seen. I hate it. It's just like, guys, it's gray at best. It's fucking gray, okay?
It is gray.
Even on OLED.
Even on the OLED. It's like, especially on the OLED.
Give me like a Mario red Nintendo.
Give me like fucking sick blue.
It's been 6 years, and then like they have this dedicated tab to themes, and we still only have black and white.
It's like, somebody said darker white.
Honestly, it does feel more like a dark white than black.
No, I feel that. Story number three. Microsoft confirms it'll let Sony put Call of Duty on PlayStation Plus on day one. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Microsoft has confirmed it's offered Sony the option to put future Call of Duty games on its PlayStation Plus subscription service on day one as part of its bid to appease regulators' concerns over its proposed Activision Blizzard acquisition.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
What?
What part of this surprises you?
Like Game Pass style?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This continue.
These are the moves you got to make.
Story number one? I mean, I get Starfield's. Okay, this is huge.
Oh, yeah. However, Sony Interactive Entertainment has alleged the offer could be reliant on unsustainable licensing costs, which would force it to raise prices. The offer is detailed in Microsoft's newly published response to UK regulator, the Competition and Markets Authority's provisional findings on the deal, which were released last month. In its response, Microsoft reiterates its willingness to sign a 10-year contract, guaranteeing the shooter series will continue to be released on PlayStation consoles post-acquisition. Microsoft claims its 10-year offer will provide Sony with parity on release date, content, features, upgrades, quality, and playability with the Xbox platform across PS4, PS5, and any successor platforms. Notably, the Xbox owner said that parity will also apply to streaming and subscription services, confirming a Bloomberg report from last year. Quote, any COD game in a Microsoft multi-game subscription is eligible for inclusion in Sony's multi-game subscription service at the same time and for the same duration, Microsoft claims in its response. It has confirmed that should the Activision Blizzard deal be approved by regulators, it intends to put future releases on Game Pass on the day of their release. This would seemingly give Sony the green light to do the same on PlayStation Plus for the next decade, should it accept Microsoft's offer.
Yo,
that's fucking crazy,
dude. This is the gauntlet being thrown. This is absolutely wild. This is Microsoft playing freaking 10D chess here, where they're just like, well, we just need to get what we want. It's not about what you want. We don't really care what you want. Mm-hmm. As long as we get what we want, we'll give you stuff. Yeah, it's cute. You can have that.
What do you think? Fine. Like, what do you think PlayStation's looking at this and thinking? Like, do you think it's like that meme with the guy with like that's sweating looking at the two buttons? That's like put Call of Duty on PS Plus for 10 years, or like let Xbox have Call. Like, do you think they're struggling with
this decision? They must be. And so here's the thing. This is fun to talk about, yeah, because I think that it is the strategy versus tactics type situation where you look at it and this is a huge win, mm-hmm, right? Where great, it's a win for the gamers out there,
of course,
for sure. But for Sony, think of how many copies of Call of Duty sells every year at $70, right? The majority of them are on PlayStation. They'd be losing a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
by not doing that, by not having that. Having said that, we've seen Xbox first-party games and even third-party games that come to Game Pass still sell well outside of Game Pass. So maybe it's not the worst strategy, but you need to kind of figure out the dollar signs because it has to add up. It is actual math here. The other side to this is PlayStation Plus is not a Game Pass competitor. That's not Sony's mindset. They look at it more as a subscription service where they have some additive things for people to enjoy, whereas it is the strategy for Xbox. So having such a major win, like Call of Duty for free, quote-unquote, as part of the service, would be such a major win and bolster the value of PlayStation Plus. I just don't think that that is in line with PlayStation's strategy.
Do you think that's Microsoft being like, they're not going to take it? Like, this doesn't matter as much to them,
yeah,
because of PlayStation's...
I think so. Yeah. I think that that's the thing. Is as good as this sounds and as wild as this deal is, I think that strategically it might be not the best option in terms of making money for PlayStation. And on top of that, PlayStation still are going to fight this because they're like, it's more than just Call of Duty that they don't want Xbox to have on the Activision front, right? Mm-hmm. Call of Duty is just probably the biggest aspect of that that will directly affect PlayStation. But there are still dozens of other incredibly popular IP.
Yeah. The 4D chess here is incredible to like watch, because Microsoft confirming this, right? Microsoft being like, yeah, like this is what it is, I think says a lot in terms of the ball really is in PlayStation's court in terms of how they want to play with this. Because on the Microsoft side, on the Xbox side, it's a win, right? On the audience side, no matter who you are, I'll say this is a win, right? As if you're in the PlayStation audience, yeah, you want Call of Duty in PlayStation Plus, like day and date. Are you kidding me? That sounds like the best deal ever.
At the same offer that Xbox has. And if it's a first party title on Xbox, it's day one on Game Pass. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
As PlayStation, the company, you're like, ah, shit. Right? Like Microsoft saying this out loud means our fans hear this, right? And our fans are probably going to ask for this. Like, this feels like Microsoft applying pressure on all sides right now, which is very fascinating to see. Kind of an additional element to this, right? Barrett brought up a tweet from Tom Warren talking about, Tom tweeted out, Sony is worried that Microsoft will sabotage Call of Duty for the PlayStation. Sony says it's concerned Microsoft could strategically degrade the quality and performance of Call of Duty on PlayStation. It goes into a deeper article talking about like, oh yeah, like when the game could get updated and be broken at the end of the day, like talking about nefarious things Xbox can do to Call of Duty in order to make it play worse
but
on PlayStation, which is fucking
Okay, wild. This, I mean, look, again, you know, it's like, so funny. I was about to say, as we were talking about the story, this is the first time in months that we've had a story about this that I'm like, oh, this is fun to talk about. And like, there's some actual meat
and
here.
On the other
and
side.
It's not just salacious bullshit. And then here we go. Here it is. What's so stupid about this, though, is like, or what's potentially very interesting about this is this implies that that happens currently. Or that, like, that is something that could happen. This reminds me of, like, people that say that IGN's reviews are bot. It's like, no, they're not, you fucking morons. But you can say it all you want, and then all of a sudden people think that it's true because people are saying it. It's not fucking true.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's that type of thing here where it's like, you can say that because, yeah, that argument makes sense. That, yes, they would want to do that because they want to win and they want you to lose. But that's not how the market works.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it makes sense if you're arguing it to regulators who aren't plugged into how the business works, right? And you're trying to make this top down. Hey, Microsoft is our competitor. Hey, they want to put the biggest game, the biggest game that releases every single year on our platform. They're going to sabotage it. That sounds like it makes sense naturally if you're on the outside looking in. When you're in, you're like, no, that's not how Microsoft isn't going to fuck up its highest revenue earning project on the platform it's going to sell the most on. To not get it to sell on that platform. That's not how it's going to work.
No. God.
But yeah, it's a stretch because they're really trying to make this argument.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's hilarious about this too is like, if Xbox plays this the right way and PlayStation says the wrong thing and kind of embarrasses itself, like, or exposes itself, what if this reveals something that PlayStation has been doing this to Microsoft with all of their exclusive deals and how they've been doing things? Like
Barrett, have you played Persona 5 on Xbox? Is it okay?
I mean, that's not a PlayStation. that's an Atlas.
I know.
No, that game runs great everywhere. It's great, even on the Steam Deck. Bless. Let me tell you, 60 frames per second. Ooh, baby. Oh, yeah?
But real quick,
I'm thinking about MLB The Show. That's a better example. If that's like any worse than on PlayStation, I can't think of.
I think it's purely lip service. I think it's purely that. Well,
it's absolute nonsense. Yeah. But oh fuck! I lost my train of thought, but it's all good. This is insane. Like I can't believe that this is where we're at. And oh, I remember now. So, Xbox wants Game Pass on PlayStation.
Yes.
Duh. Right. They want it anywhere that they can get it because they just want more people to be able to subscribe and pay them money. So, this would be such a win for Microsoft if PlayStation says yes to this, because then Call of Duty is owned by them on their consoles, free to play. Then it's just microtransactions. Get me them battle passes. Get me that money. Like,
you want to be wild. Well, I don't know how Minecraft works. I forget how Minecraft works on PlayStation. Do you need an Xbox account to play Minecraft? Because I'll think, if I'm Microsoft, I'm figuring out how to make that a thing. Like, hey, you want to play Call of Duty on PlayStation? Sign up for an Xbox account. And like, kind of use that as the lean-in, right? The gateway drug to Xbox Game Pass.
The
you gotta
be
that
thing,
Trojan
yes.
horse. Yes? Okay. So yeah,
thing,
I would expect
yes.
the same thing with Call of Duty on PlayStation.
RPO, she's saying you need a Mojang account, not Microsoft. Zabkill says you need one. Oh, you need one on iPad at least.
On iPad?
But he's saying you need an iPad. It's like, damn.
Do the research, hit me back in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. As you're doing that, let's talk about story number 4. Wargroove 2 has been announced. Hmm. This is Marcus Stewart at Game Informer. Publisher Chucklefish announced Wargroove 2 today, a sequel to its well-received Advanced Wars-inspired strategy RPG. Developed by Robotality, Wargroove 2 was set 3 years after the first game, with a new faction looking to use ancient technology to conquer the now peaceful land of Arrhenia. The main story unfolds across 3 interconnected campaigns set on land, the sea, and the sky, and features a new cast of commanders. It also features a new roguelike campaign called Conquest that tasks players to complete a series of smaller battles while making permanent choices and relying on the same pool of units, health, and resources. Wargroove 2 features 4-player co-op and versus battles, local and online, along with rule customization and asynchronous play. An in-game editor allows players to create custom maps, campaigns, and even cutscenes to share with other players. Hell yeah.
Dude, this looks awesome. I remember first seeing this, and this was before Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp was announced, and it was like, oh, wow, there's a Advanced Wars-like coming out, and that's exciting. And then it was one of those indie games that, like, it was like, oh, it's coming this year. It's like, is it?
Yeah.
It just kept getting pushed, and I kind of forgot about it. And by the time it came out, the timing was just off, and I never played more than like an hour of this thing.
Same.
But it was cool. But I'm happy that it was good enough to get a sequel, and it looks great. Like, I love the pixel art. I love the variety of enemies and even just like colors and style there. It is interesting that Advanced Wars 1 and 2 is finally actually coming out soon. But I think that this is one of those examples of that isn't a bad thing. This is probably a ways out, and I think that more interest in that type of subgenre is only going to benefit something like Wargroove 2.
Yeah. If Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 is the gateway to get people who might have not played that kind of game in and have them enjoy it, and if they want more later on, yeah, Wargroove 2 coming out would be a great thing, right, for that studio. And yeah, I didn't expect to see Wargroove 2. I kind of forgot about Wargroove. But I know, like, I remember leading up to it, seeing the trailers, there was excitement around it, right? And mm-hmm. I think that is because it was before Advanced Wars 1 plus 2. But, you know, hearing about the features they're adding to it, hearing about Conquest, right, this roguelike campaign, I'm of the mind that most games could use a roguelike campaign, and so I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah, go get them. Good for them.
Yeah.
Final news story. This is sort of a breaking news story that was shared in Slack, I believe, by Roger Bricorni. This comes from Nintendo Life, Ollie Reynolds, and Jack Yarwood. This is a report. Lego Disney and Guardians of the Galaxy projects among multiple cancellations at TT Games. It's actually not that long, so I'll read part of it. In April 2022, TT Games and Warner Brothers Interactive launched the highly anticipated LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, an ambitious project and one that reportedly took its toll on studio employees. The game has been a sales success, selling 3.2 million copies in less than 2 weeks after launch, which must have come as a relief to TT Studio management considering the project's troubled development. In fact, we have spoken to multiple sources confirming the cancellation of various projects at the studio featuring high-profile IP, including a LEGO Disney title that was terminated just last year. Known internally as Project Marley, this LEGO game is said to have featured multiple worlds and Disney characters, including Jungle Book, Nightmare Before Christmas, Pirates of the Caribbean, Maleficent, Muppets, Frozen, Toy Story, Winnie the Pooh, any animated Disney property so, that's had the LEGO tree. So it's Kingdom Hearts, but
it's
LEGO.
Kingdom Hearts, is, but without, you
that's
know,
fucking
the Kingdom
crazy.
Hearts shit, and then it's LEGO.
It seems with the player exploring a large overworld and Diablo-like dungeons, so I wonder if it was like a top-down situation, because that does seem pretty neat.
Yeah.
The player's overarching goal was to free the hearts of the Dark Knight. The player's overarching goal was to rid each world of an evil purple force corrupting the environment, which honestly,
it's just Kingdom Hearts.
Not that far off. If that sounds familiar, that's because a similar feature also showed up.
If that sounds familiar.
Just wait until you hear about Sora showing up in the game. A similar feature was also showed in Game Loft's Disney's Dreamlight Valley, which launched in paid early access played early access form on multiple platforms back in September 2022. We're told that the TT game was struggling with the direction of its LEGO Disney project, and ultimately that Dreamlight Valley proved to be the final nail in the coffin. It was canned after at least 4 years in development. While that is the largest of the canceled projects, according to our sources, several others, all of which were being built with Unreal Engine, have fallen by the wayside at TT Games, including Project Cosmic, a LEGO game based on the Guardians of the Galaxy IP, which was said to also feature the Marvel characters Nova and Adam Warlock, was apparently in development for a full 18 months before being scrapped. Project Rainbow Road, wow, Project Rainbow Road, a non-LEGO shooter featuring Warner Brothers IP, including DC, Rick and Morty, Looney Tunes. Okay, well, why would you make the project name that if it's not a Mario Kart related thing? God damn it. Netflix's Stranger Things, etc. All right, cool. And then a mobile port of LEGO Worlds. Additionally, the same sources detail a narrative based Mandalorian DLC in development for LEGO Skywalker Saga. Wow. And then it goes on. But I highly recommend
Mando,
you.
Mando DLC was cut? Is that what you just read?
Yeah. It was cut.
It was
cut.
In development, and then they stopped it.
Go over to Nintendo Live to read the full thing. They go on longer,
that's
but
a
I, don't,
lot of
I don't want
to
belabor
cutting.
It. That's a lot.
And another
projects.
One based on Batman, too.
Oh, saying. Really?
Yeah, on the bottom here. Along with another new title based on DC's Batman that's apparently been put to one side.
Mm. There have been LEGO Batman games before in the past,
oh,
right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The three of them. But it's been a minute. Like, the last one that they did, I think, was like a supervillains, like, the focus one. And so, yeah, it's been a while since, like, just a Batman LEGO game. I'm wondering what's going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard a lot, right, of it just, like, they're being stretched way too thin. Like, they were putting out LEGO games so consistently, and then Skywalker Saga being like a departure for the franchise, for LEGO franchise overall, and like being bigger in scope. And it seems like it was very difficult to get that game across the finish line. Having said that, it is interesting to look at the list of the things here. where if you were to ask me what I thought they were doing, whether it was canceled or not, I've been saying forever, I thought it was going to be like the Skywalker saga, but for the Infinity saga of Marvel, and like kind of maybe even break that up into separate games. I did not expect it to just be a bunch of collections and a Guardians Lego game. Like, that, definitely not what I would have thought they would be up to.
It reminds me so much of Telltale, just in terms of, hey, we got to like hone in. Let's fix our engine. Let's make these games a bit more polished, right? And I think that's how you end up with the direction of Skywalker Saga, which ended up just taking longer than what their games usually are, right? That got delayed and was highly anticipated for a while. Comes out, but then we hear the stories of crunch and how like the studio, the employees of the studio are feeling taxed, right? Like, there's a lot going on here. And then, yeah, you look at all of these things that they said yes to in terms of different IP, Guardians of the Galaxy, Stranger Things, Rick and Morty, like Project Rainbow Road sounds wild. And then, yeah, like a Lego Worlds thing, Mandalorian DLC. That sounds like them saying yes a lot and over-promising, right? Being like, hey, yeah, we can do this. Like, we've done a lot of projects before, but I think trying to do that while at the same time trying to build toward more polish and more scope is ultimately going to lead to downfall. That doesn't sound attainable. That's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Also, I do like the idea of Infinity Saga Lego game. I'm not a Lego game person, but I would play the hell out of an Infinity Saga game. Tim, curious to see what's next for TT Games. But the reveal is probably just so far away. If I wanted what's coming out to Mom and Grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Paranormasite, The Seven Mysteries of Hanjo for Switch, Sanctuary Saga for PC, Contraband Police for PC, Idea the Game for mobile, PC, and Switch. This is Metroid Fusion for Switch, but I think that's
it's 3-9.
3-9, okay, so that's an error. And then Bayonetta Origins, Syriza and the Lost Demon, the demo, is now available. You can play the first two chapters, and progress carries over into the full game. New dates for you. Pirates Outlaws is boarding Switch, PS4, and Xbox One on March 29th. Coffee Talk, Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly, brews a new blend of cozy storytelling on April 20th on PC via Steam, Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Squad 51 versus the Flying Saucers will be invading the Nintendo Switch on March 16th. And then Sword Art Online, Last Recollection, launches October 6th for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and PC. Deal of the day for you, Sleeping Dogs, goddamn Wario 64, Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition is $4.49 on the US PSN store. I think Wario 64 does that every single time when he tweets it out.
I love it.
Calls it Sleepy Dogs. Tim, now it's time to squad up. Josh Newman writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, with a squad up on PS5 and says, I've been playing lots of Pavlov on PSVR2, and I'm looking to fill a lobby with KFBFs who are playing as well. If you want to play some Pavlov on PSVR2 with Josh, you can add Josh with the username Catastrophon. That's right, Catastrophon. CATASTROPHON. Catastrophon.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
Well, what does it evolve into?
I would say Dawn Fan evolves into it.
I was going to say a Catastrophoenix.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. I don't know where I pulled that from. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. There's a lot of stuff from yesterday. Exodia is not banned, in case you didn't know. Kebabs mentions, I thought this was the case, but I didn't want to say it because I wasn't positive. But internally, Bethesda called Starfield's aesthetic NASA punk.
Interesting. NASA. I'm not seeing the punk, but okay.
That's it. Yeah, there's maybe where people are writing with more you're wrongs from Monday. Somebody said the blue-haired Goku is called Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
Come on,
be real. Later it was called Super Saiyan Blue. I think I said Super Saiyan God. Oh, here it is. Super Saiyan God is when Goku gets the red hair. Is that not Super Saiyan 4? Fuck, what's the color of his hair in Super Saiyan 4 then? Or am I thinking Gogeta? I'm just going to invite more you're wrongs. Disregard everything I just said. But that's it for kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts for the show are going to be me and Janet. Me and Janet.
It's exciting.
And then on Friday, it's going to be Greg and Tim.
Greg Miller, Tim Geddes, tapping.
Back at it.
Very excited about that one. Oh, also for that, a couple fun things I want to tell you guys. One, tomorrow is Thursday, which means the Mario movie trailer direct is going to happen. But we've been boned multiple times by Universal, so we will not be reacting live to it. Instead, Greg and I will give our thoughts on it on the Friday episode of Games Daily. So just letting y'all know, I wish we could record live. But hey, Nintendo, Illumination, Universal, somebody doesn't like us. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to find out. And then also another fun thing is we're about to record an episode of The Shit List that you can get exclusively on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So you should go check that out because this show is dope as hell. All right? All right.
Tim, you know we're going to talk about The Shit List. Mm. The 40 greatest hip-hop video game soundtracks ever.
Holy shit. 4D.
Now, of course, we're only going to talk about like maybe the 4D. Top 10, but we're going to skim through the rest of the 40 list because
let's go.
That's going to be a good conversation, of course. If you want to check that out, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. After this, if you're watching live, is some Warzone with Mike, Andy, and Nick. You can catch that later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.